Spotlight.
Namaskar and welcome to Spotlight. My name is Rajesh Lake. Today we focus on women-led development, the path to Viksit Bharat at 2047, a theme that has been powerfully underlined by the Honorable President of India in a recent address at the Manekshaw Center and at Vigyan Bhavan. To help us unpack the significance of President's messages and what they mean for India's journey towards a developed nation by 2047, we have with us senior journalist and keen observer of public policy, Aditi Tandon. A warm welcome, Aditi.
Thank you so much.
Aditi, let's begin by looking at how these presidential engagements frame the idea of women-led development in the larger story of Viksit Bharat. So at both the Manekshaw Center and Vigyan Bhavan, the Honorable President emphasized women's leadership in nation building. As a senior journalist, how do you read the core message these events are sending about women-led development as a national strategy and not just a slogan?
You see, often there is a debate around whether we should or should not mark International Women's Day and whether it's just tokenism. Or can we go beyond that? Can we go beyond slogans? But you know, what I believe is that for people who are in urban spaces, you know, who have facilitations, who are empowered in their own right, for them, these debates matter a bit. But for those who struggle every day to ensure equality in workplaces, for instance, in rural economies, for instance, in areas where, you know, women are still viewed with a lot of suspicion because of patriarchal attitudes, stereotypical narratives, for them, these things matter a lot. And that is where the importance of political symbolism comes in. You see, the president, the head of the state, attending important events on a day like this, sends a clear message that there is a political will, you know, the narrative of women-led development, and that it is not just a political slogan, that the government is serious about translating these things on the ground. And therefore, when we have President Murmu speak about where Indian women are today, for instance, you know, she spoke about how women are leading across sectors from education to space to science and now even rural economy. She also highlighted challenges. So when she lends her voice to such a prominent cause, it makes a difference. And therefore, I think even if you think this is symbolic, even if you think the presence of the head of state is actually, you know, just a presence at the event, it means a lot for a lot of people.
So from celebrating the contribution of women in our armed forces to recognizing women change makers in fields like science, governance, entrepreneurship and grassroots leadership, the president, Draupadi Murmu, said that women are not just beneficiaries of development, but drivers of national transformation. Let's listen in.
Aaj mohilaen shiksha, prashasan, न्यायपालिका, सेना, चिकित्सा, विज्ञान, टेक्निक, कला और उद्यमिता हर क्षेत्र में अग्रणी भूमिका निभा रहे हैं। ग्रामीण क्षेत्र की महिलाएं स्वयं सहायता समूह के माध्यम से आर्थिक रूप से आत्मनिर्भर बन रहे हैं। ये पंचायतों में ग्रामीण विकास को नेतृत्व दे रहे हैं। अनेक महिलाएं उद्योग, स्टार्टअप, कॉरपोरेट जगत में अपनी योग्यता और क्षमता से नेतृत्व प्रदान कर रहे हैं। खेल जगत में हमारी बेटियां उत्कृष्ट प्रदर्शन कर रहे हैं। ऐसे उदाहरण ये विश्वास जगाते हैं कि अवसर और समर्थन मिलने से महिलाएं हर क्षेत्र में उत्कृष्टता प्राप्त कर सकते। महिलाओं में दम है, हम किसी से कम नहीं, हम में भी दम है। हमारे संविधान के निर्माता डॉक्टर भीमराव अम्बेडकर ने कहा था, आई मेजर द प्रोग्रेस ऑफ ए कम्युनिटी बाय द डिग्री ऑफ प्रोग्रेस व्हिच वुमेन हैव अचीव्ड। मुझे प्रसन्नता है कि भारत सरकार द्वारा महिला सशक्तिकरण को प्राथमिकता देते हुए अनेक महत्वपूर्ण योजनाएं कार्य रूप दी गई है।
Aditi, the Manekshaw Center event highlighted women in uniform and the growing role of women in the defense forces. How does the visibility of women in such high-stakes domains reshape societal perceptions of capability, courage and leadership among women in India? And as the president said, hamme dam hai.
Yeah, you see, the most recent example of women leading from the front in, you know, areas which we would traditionally or conventionally think are male dominated. When Operation Sindoor was underway, you would recall that two women were fielded from the armed forces by the government to actually, you know, put forth the national narrative. That was a very, very powerful signal to the world of how much and how deeply India relies and trusts its women in uniform. So, of course, you know, the presence of women in defense forces is a very, very potent symbol of a rising nation. Not only does it, mirror the strength of India's indigenous defense capabilities and the fact that women are now also flying fighter jets, it also shows that India is ready to trust women in combat roles. It's a major, major transition. It's not a very big transition because we were among the early countries, you know, perhaps the first, among the first in the world that granted universal adult franchise right at independence, whereas, you know, so-called Western democracies actually deliberated on the issue for decades before they could actually trust women with a vote. So you see, this non-discriminatory, egalitarian, equal philosophy is inherent to Indian democracy. It is inherent to Indian constitutionalism. If you look at the Constituent Assembly debates, you will see how each member of the Constituent Assembly stood up for women's rights, not just women's rights, but also the rights of other visible minorities. So when we progress towards representation of women in areas such as defense forces, today only I was seeing how women also are dominating the industrial force, the CISF. So, you know, women are now increasingly also seen in hazardous occupations, for instance, in mining, in coal mines. I have seen so many examples. Only recently, the government has rolled out the labor codes where they have actually broken the last glass barrier and they have said that women will have the right to work in any industrial occupation should they choose to, should they consent to, and provided there are safe working environments and facilitations available for such women. So yes, it's a very powerful symbol, women in defense, women in combat roles.
Okay, and also when the president addresses gatherings at platforms like Vigyan Bhavan, she speaks not only to awardees in the hall, but to policymakers and young women across the country. What policy and mindset signals do you think, Aditi, the president was intending to send to the governments, institutions and families?
See, the first segment of her speech concentrated on how Indian women were leading from the front. Like you said earlier in your remarks that, you know, women have now basically been rising across sectors and removing barriers in the path to their growth. We also have how, you know, women are still higher than males in terms of gross enrollment ratio in education and women's participation. Only recently, we had a very interesting, very important study which showed that India is emerging as a world leader in STEM disciplines, and the gradual rise of women in these disciplines is a very heartening sign. So President reflected on all of that. And most importantly, the President not just said that women, when given enabling environments, realize their full potential. She also made it a point to mention that women are struggling on various fronts even today. For example, she sent out a message to policymakers that women are facing problems of discrimination. There is a problem of unequal pay for equal work between males and females. And there's this pressing issue of domestic violence, despite the fact that we have a long-standing law now against domestic violence. And the president emphasized that all these things cannot be addressed only through law, only through legislation, that the society has to come together and make a change in its mindset. See, no nation can achieve its full potential through just government intervention. Every nation is basically a sum and substance of the government and the citizens. And I think that is the reason Prime Minister Narendra Modi has repeatedly been emphasizing the importance of community participation in every campaign, be it Swachh Bharat campaign, be it Beti Bachao Beti Padhao campaign, or, you know, more lately, other major campaigns like anti-corruption, for instance. He's appealing to everybody to basically come up and say that there is no tolerance for corruption in society. So I think President Murmu's remarks were very, very balanced, where on the one hand, she said that Indian women have tremendous potential and she saluted their silent resilience. On the other, she also flagged the challenges they continue to navigate on a daily basis.
We often hear the phrase women-led development as distinct from women's development. From what you observed in the president's recent engagement, what concrete differences does this shift imply in terms of priorities, budget making, and program design up to 2047?
You see, it's now proven across the world through various scientific studies and researches that when you empower a woman, you actually empower societies. When you empower societies, you empower the world. So women sit at the very core of global transformation. There is no way you are going to progress unless half of the world's population is going to progress with you. So that is the basic logic behind empowering women. And as far as I see, you know, there are very big changes that are happening very silently across the country. For instance, this entire financial inclusion campaign that has been going on since 2014. We have the Jan Dhan accounts being opened. After that, you have a slew of government schemes that were rolled out, starting from the Mudra scheme. Then you had the Sukanya Smriddhi Yojana. The Sukanya Smriddhi Yojana, you know, we may not know much about it, but it's a highly empowering scheme. For instance, it allows families to basically open accounts with as little as 250 rupees in one account. You know, 8.2% is the interest that the government offers. This is basically to encourage the birth of girl children. So government is going to empower families financially to take care of their girl children. So small changes that look very mundane, but go deep into the psyche of the society. See, it's all too well to say beti bachao, beti padhao, but how do you achieve that? You achieve that through digital payment interfaces that you are enabling the rural populations now to use. Also through financial inclusion, banking has penetrated, you know, the villages now. You have something called bank sakhis in villages. You have something called pashu sakhis. Also, you know, kisan sakhis. So these are women who are basically helping other rural women to understand how the schemes of the government work. Now, you see, India has one of the highest numbers of self-help groups led by women in the world. We currently have around 90 lakh such groups, which represent 10 crore families. And obviously, women are involved in these groups. And through the SCGs, you also know that the program of Lakhpati Didis is going on. Only today, the Prime Minister, while inaugurating projects in Delhi, has said that the government is going to take the number of Lakhpati Didis to double, which means 6 crore. So Lakhpati Didis is what? It is basically a member of the self-help group movement who makes 1 lakh rupees per year as income. So government is creating these enabling mechanisms to help women get there, because money makes everything go, and we have to financially empower our women.
Okay, taking a cue from what you just mentioned, at the grassroots, women self-help groups like ASHA workers, teachers, and panchayat leaders are quietly transforming local economies and governance. Do you see the recent ceremonies at Manekshaw Center and Vigyan Bhavan as helping to bridge the gap between the grassroots leadership and national recognition?
Yeah, obviously, because you see, such programs bring together women achievers from across the country. You know, these are achievers you and I will not meet otherwise. We are not going to go to villages to find out what kind of change makers are transforming the rural landscapes. So when such programs are organized in the national capital, they basically grant visibility to a lot of women who are working silently in the shadows to not just, you know, make ends meet on the level of their families, but they're slowly transitioning and transforming societies.
Okay. And also, again, taking a cue from you, Aditi, India has launched several schemes, from financial inclusion and skilling to maternal health and digital access targeted at women. Based on the narrative coming from Rashtrapati Bhavan, where do you see the biggest implementation gaps, and what course corrections are essential in the next 10, 15 years we can reach 2047?
See, there are two, three very important challenges that the government and the society together have to surmount. The first challenge is the growing sexual violence against women. The second major challenge that I see, since you ask me, is that political participation of women in India has been increasing. Any parliament which has a legislative quota across the world shows that the average representation of women in such national parliaments is above 30%. The rollout of Women's Reservation Bill is going to basically plug that gap.
Okay. Thank you very much, Aditi Tandon, for your insights, and thanks to all our listeners for joining us on Spotlight. Thank you, Aditi.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.